Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 455 for comics originally released on April 27th, 2016. Now, starting us off in DC is Batman number 51. Now, this was written by Scott Snyder, art and cover by Greg Capullo. Let me read the premise. Batman has battled everything from the Court of Owls to Mr. Bloom to the Joker. But how does he handle a quiet night in Gotham City? So, they're trying to do the whole quiet night in Gotham City shtick, as if it is new, which it frankly is not. By and large, I've really been liking what this creative team has been doing with the title. This is pretty much the counterpoint to that.
I don't even think it's the first time we've done a quiet night in Gotham City under this creative team.
You know,
perhaps it was a detective, but it hasn't been that long since I've read one of these stories.
Well, and it's hard not to compare this to the Harlan Ellison one from like 1986 or something back in Detective Comics, which was just a really great story. So, you know, they're trying to do something here. And frankly, I get what they were trying to do. It just they didn't succeed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Scott Snyder, when he came onto this title, you know, he waxed philosophical about his love of Gotham City and how much he loved to love the city, and the city was its own character. And you could see that he had that affection that he has for the city as a character here. But yeah, I agree. He's not really treading new ground here and blazing a new trail with this story.
Well, I'm going to get, I don't want to say a little spoilery here, because depending on your perspective, I'm either getting a lot spoilery here or not at all. If you go to the credits page where we've got the splash at the top and then some panels at the bottom. Okay. Bruce is in the cave. Alfred is there with him, handing him some stuff and whatnot. And at first I'm thinking, you know, wait a sec. Alfred lost a hand not that long ago.
Yeah. He put his toys back in the toy box.
Alfred is able to have full use of both hands with basically a word balloon or two to it, just magically explain it away. And I'm like, wow. I mean, Alfred never seemed to be, I don't know, going for surgery or really even to the doctor, you know, at all. That's just, it's magical, although it was a science explanation, and they're in a world they could have gone with magic. But, I mean, in my mind at that point, I'm like, so much for lasting consequences of any of these stories. I mean, if they can just kind of, pardon the pun, wave the hands and suddenly it's fine.
But, well, I mean, that's kind of the Grant Morrison school is you get a play in this world, you take all the toys out of the toy box, you do whatever you want, you create a son for Batman if you want to, and at the end of your time, you reset the status quo back to the way you found it, put all your toys back, and then you walk away. And that's kind of what he's doing here.
I guess I prefer the Boy Scout motto of leave it better than you found it. And better, granted, with creative work can be subjective, I'll grant you that. But don't go hacking off limbs or killing off characters or doing other things that you know blatantly you're going to have to undo and reset on your way out the door. So to me, that felt, I mean, it killed the whole concept of consequences. It dropped the stakes substantially on this. But ironically, that wasn't really a problem for this issue. It's kind of the entire point of the story is that nothing happened. So I didn't think this was bad. I just thought it was pointless, kind of boring, and for a $3.99 comic, I expect more. Heck, for a $2.99 comic, I expect more. You know, it's like Batman was going out looking for trouble and just never found it. And we've seen this sort of story before. It felt indulgent and not in a wildly entertaining kind of a way.
Well, for me, this was a... I think it was a nice capper to the run. The 51 issues, pretty much with the creative team intact the whole time. I think Capullo may have taken an issue off here or there. By and large, a pretty solid 51 issue run, and I like the way they capped it off with what for me feels like a very old time story, you know, that could have been told any time in the last 75 years of Batman, and probably has been told half a dozen times. I think his version of it and him kind of putting everything back and saying, all right, I've enjoyed my time here, and I'm resetting everything, and good luck to Tom King and the next crew that comes along. I kind of think that works as a capper issue,
kind of like an epilogue or something.
It almost is an epilogue, and I think, you know, maybe 50 was really where, you know, we kind of got some more action and more things actually happen, and this is kind of just a love letter to Gotham and his time here with Batman, and for that it worked for me. I think 50 was a little stronger, of course, but I think this works.
Isn't there going to be an issue 52 that would be the end of the run?
I think this is their last one.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure who. I just assumed they had one more.
I would have assumed that too, but I heard that 52 was somebody else.
Oh, okay. All right. So in terms of epilogue and just kind of we've said what we've had to say and there's nothing left for us to do, I'll grant you that makes sense. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. But isn't Snyder just going over to Detective?
No. He's going to do All-Star Batman in a few months.
Okay, because I thought he was still going to stay on Batman, but all right, so I just lost track of who was going to be on which title and whatnot.
Yeah.
End of an era type stuff, I can see where you're coming from on that. That makes a bit more sense. It still was not the best execution of this basic sort of story from just a writing perspective. There were also a couple of pages where I felt... you could argue they're going for style, but it also reeked a little bit of I don't want to say lazy, that's wrong, but on the art level, when we've got the scene with the bat signal, just about everything is in silhouette. That seems like a faster page to draw, since you don't have a lot of the pesky little, you know, details of, you know, seeing people or their faces or some stuff like that. It was just something where, again, part of it felt indulgent. It didn't work for me as well as I would have liked to. Again, coming off of 50, which I think we both agree was a very strong issue. This really, this has been an incredibly strong run. So this had a lot to measure up to, and I felt it didn't. Again, wasn't bad. It was just kind of there.
Yeah, and ever since Capullo launched his original art website, mm-hmm. I've been looking at his art a little more cynically now, and the way he does things, and I'm thinking, oh, this will be a $30,000 page.
Like okay. The two-page spread in Arkham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at some of the prices that he wants for his original art, and it's, you know, I could buy houses for what he wants for some of his art. It's crazy. And I look at it a little more cynically now, and some of the things that the choices he makes are more, oh, that's cool. That would really look good framed on somebody's wall. Is that the best way to tell the story? But he's still a really talented guy.
Very talented, but when that starts to be more on the artist's mind, not to say it is necessarily in this case, but when it either is or feels like it is, then just how do I tell the story the best? That's where I think kind of the goal has been lost sight of.
Yeah, and you know, I'm anxious to see what's next for him with that Mark Millar miniseries that he's doing. I'm kind of curious to see what he does with that. You know, I remember his Spawn stuff, mm-hmm. and of course this, but I don't know what else. I'm not really familiar with any of his other work, so I'm really curious to see him do a different genre and see how that works.
Yeah. Again, this was one that, like I said, didn't dislike, but didn't really get much out of. It was one that frankly just failed to move the needle for me. So I'm going with a C.
Yeah. I think I enjoyed it. Well, at least a full letter grade more than you did. I thought it was a nice capper to the end of the run and a good send off. So I gave it a solid B. And I think this entire run, although some of the story arcs were a tad too long and could mm-hmm. have used an edit, by and large, this 51 issue run, I think, is going to go down as as one of the stronger creative teams runs in Batman's history.
I completely agree with you on that. And I think that's part of why I came out of this issue a little cold, is they've done such great things to have an issue where I felt it was just not even, it was just kind of filler. It was just kind of there. You know, again, you were seeing that as an epilogue to a great run. I was looking at it as to, okay, what's in this issue? If you're telling the Quiet Night in Gotham, do you have a unique spin on it? Something cool. And in my mind, they didn't.
Yeah. And you know what? I want to play devil's advocate a little bit and defend Scott Snyder a little bit, because when he was, before Rebirth was decided, he was probably not privy to everything leading up to when they decided that this was going to happen and here's the dates it's going to occur.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing he was brought into the fold pretty quickly because he's such a key player in this. But when that happened, you know, he has to end this story arc, put a bow on it. He can't start another story that he might have because he doesn't have the time to do so. Then he also has to co-write the Rebirth issue and then start his new title as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why it was originally supposed to be a 52 issue run. They had to chop off one of them, gave him one epilogue issue. And I can see why this would feel maybe it's not his A game.
Well,
and I can kind of understand that, the position he's in within the company and what they're doing.
And I do not begrudge the creative team an indulgent issue. I mean, they've had this has been basically the best selling ongoing title for DC for the last couple of years. They've done an incredible job on it. So giving them a chance of just, hey, whatever you want to do or whatever, you know, conceptually, I'm okay with that. It's just, again, it failed to particularly entertain me. I don't think it was a mistake to do the issue, but if they had come out with a done-in-one story that was just, man, this is all Batman could be and then some. And for me, this was not that.
Well, I don't think anything's sold better than Batman at DC since Geoff Johns and Green Lantern, has it?
Well, since the start of the New 52, there have been one or two things that may have outsold it on like a given month for a...
Right, but...
You know, but as ongoing titles, yeah, it's been the top dog.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, giving them an issue of just, hey, you know, have fun. I'm okay with that, but don't expect me to give it a brilliant, you know, rating as a result either.
Right. And I can definitely understand that grade too, for sure. And
it's certainly not a bad comic. These guys are somewhat incapable of doing a bad comic. But I was expecting more because they've delivered more.
Mm-hmm.
And they also set themselves up with a bit of a challenge of, let's do the Quiet Night in Gotham, and doing something where you're blatantly doing kind of no action, no serious adventure, whatever, and telling just an amazing Batman story can be done. Not easy. I mean, if they'd gone with the, okay, he goes back to Crime Alley, it's the night of, you know, his parents' murder or whatever, the anniversary of that, and basically people don't know why Batman usually goes nuts that time of year, but they've realized everybody be on your best behavior this night. That could have been really cool.
Yeah.
You know, but again, that's not what they did. Shall we move on to our Marvel book?
Sure.
This is The Ultimates number 6. We've got Al Ewing on writing and Christian Ward as the guest artist. And have you been reading The Ultimates the whole time?
No.
Okay, so you're just kind of jumping in and out?
Mm-hmm.
This is a great issue to kind of jump in and out with, kind of a deal. Because if you're really not that familiar with the Ultimates, it really doesn't matter. They pretty much just make a cameo in this issue. And I had mixed feelings about that. I felt it really felt like Al Ewing was just channeling kind of the concepts of Grant Morrison. There's a lot of big cosmic kind of crazy ideas here. Not necessarily all of them brand new to the Marvel Universe. I mean, we've had Eternity, Galactus is a major player here and stuff. But Lord Chaos, Master Order, a lot of these characters got some really good screen time, well used, but it's far from a down-to-earth kind of a story. It really lived up to the phrase in the solicit of the most cosmic issue yet. Normally when I see phrases like that, it's like, yeah, uh-huh. It's like, okay, they did it here. Again, I thought it was a really good issue. It just, while it made perfect sense for this to be in this series, given they've set up, this is the title that set up Galactus's kind of new status quo as the life giver, or life bringer, sorry. Again, it almost felt like he hijacked their book for an issue.
Yeah.
but it was a very entertaining story, and it worked for me better than a lot of things that tend to be a little kind of, you know, out there, or I don't say trippy or whatever, but again, it's, like I said, far from down to earth. I'm just wondering if this is building to something or not. I feel like it might be, and it probably should be, but then I'm also thinking, you know, this guy isn't like Jonathan Hickman or Brian Michael Bendis or one of the big dogs at Marvel. So I don't feel he's got this grand plan, this event he's leading up to or something like that. I don't know, maybe he does. It doesn't feel that way, but the story kind of reads like it should be leading up to something.
Right.
What were your thoughts on this?
I don't know. I mean, the only Ultimate Universe person I really like is the Spider-Man. And I never really followed any of the other titles very often. So I'm not even sure if I'm even qualified to really evaluate this properly.
None of these characters are from the Ultimate Universe.
So these aren't Ultimate versions of...
No, this is mainstream Marvel Universe. We've got Blue Marvel, who had been in a couple of titles here and there.
Why is Galactus yellow, then?
Because earlier issues in this is kind of the super scientist good version, if you will, of not the Avengers, but you know how the Illuminati was just kind of the evil, not the evil cabal, but the morally challenged cabal of superheroes?
Mm-hmm.
They've gathered Black Panther, Spectrum, Captain Marvel, Miss America, a couple of people. They've got a few resident geniuses kind of hanging out with them. And they're like, you know what? We're going to fix things. So one of the first things they fix, maybe the second or third, but in the first half dozen, is, you know, this whole Galactus eating planets thing. That's really a downer. It's not good for the planets. It's not filling Galactus up, so it's not good for him. Let's fix that. So they do. And Galactus goes from being the devourer to now the life bringer, seeder of worlds, to kind of undo the damage he's done before. And that was kind of that whole first arc or whatever, or at least a couple of the issues earlier in this. So that's why he's that way. But everybody else is pretty much the mainstream Marvel Universe versions.
So this is the same Molecule Man from Secret Wars?
Yeah.
I think there was a missed opportunity there to have a pile of cheeseburgers on his table instead of him eating pizza. He really should have been eating cheeseburgers then. I think it would have been a nice touch.
There was aspects of his appearance here that really made this feel like kind of an interesting post-epilogue kind of a thing for Secret Wars. And that's, again, why it feels like it's part of a bigger picture sort of a thing than just this one issue.
Yeah.
Because if you're wondering, well, what happened after that? I mean, this feels like it's ramifications of Secret Wars in a way that most other comics from Marvel haven't been and shouldn't be. Again, bigger picture, cosmic meta arc type stuff.
And I liked the whole Sisyphus theme. I thought that was interesting with pushing the rock up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a nice bookend to the title. For the most part, though, I just thought it was, you know, kind of just an out there concept. And I'm assuming I'm not going to get this week in, week out in this title.
I would be amazed if we did. Again, the fact they even did this surprised me. You know?
As far as a sample issue for someone, I'm not sure if this is a good representation of what this book is about. I would say
it's wildly atypical because, again, it's a Galactus issue. But I think it is representative of the sorts of things that are going on in this book.
Because,
again, his whole current status quo is due to the Ultimates. But not having that larger context, I could see where this would be a, hey, what's going on here kind of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's rare that I get a Galactus story where Galactus is really interesting. And at least in this one, he's kind of more interesting than he normally is.
I would say this is one of the best Galactus stories I've read.
Yeah.
You know, there are some other obvious classic ones, his first appearance, etc. But this is one of the few where I felt he was actually treated as a character, not just as a big cosmic threat.
I was just kind of, as I was reading this, I was like, so I guess the Ultimate Galactus is like a Bizarro Galactus almost, but okay, so it's the same Galactus.
Yeah, the Ultimate
They've
Galactus
just changed his,
is a
his,
hive.
Yeah.
Hive of like, you know, space alien bees or something. I forget what they were exactly.
Okay.
But yeah, if you were coming into this, and with the name of the Ultimates, I can see the confusion. Thinking that this was either set in the Ultimate Universe, which of course was destroyed going into Secret Wars, or you know, the ultimate versions of these characters having somehow survived, I could see where you're going in with just the wrong expectations and baggage and whatnot, but that's how they set it up too.
So the Ultimates that are kind of like the team, the Ultimates, are they part of Marvel mainstream now?
This group this group is.
Okay. Okay. And so who makes up that now? Who's left? Isn't dead?
Well, again, this team has nobody from the Ultimate Universe in it. This is, again, Blue Marvel, Spectrum, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Miss America, maybe one or two others.
Okay, so none of those Ultimate Universe Ultimates made it.
The only Ultimate Universe characters we've really seen come down to, like, Miles Morales, Reed Richards. Beyond that, I'd have to think about it.
Okay. Because, I knew they were phasing it out, but I thought, well, this is one of these straggler titles that just is continuing.
Nope.
Until it's run. Okay.
But that's part of the brilliance of reusing titles over and over and over again. You confuse readers.
Well, at least readers that haven't been paying that close attention, I guess. So.
Oh, come on. It's not like some books are perennially late or whatever. So it's not like it's an unrealistic thing. Well, I guess they're finally getting the last one of these out, you know, sort of. I think that's wrong, but a reasonable, you know, interpretation.
Yeah.
For me, again, I liked this. I thought they told some good stuff. It's the kind of issue that typically doesn't work for me, but they actually, I think the creative team here really pulled it off and it worked fine for me. I enjoyed it a lot. Maybe not for everybody, but if you're into kind of that meta arc, you know, geez, I wonder what happened to a couple of characters after, you know, Secret Wars, you know, did this whole, you know, reshuffling of things. Did it really matter in big picture and stuff? This addresses some of that head on. So I had a lot of fun with this. For me, it's a very solid B+.
I think the more of a Marvel Cosmic fan you are, the more you'll enjoy this. But it was pretty solidly told. A very strong Galactus story. If you really like Galactus, I think you'll enjoy this as well. And it was a good read, so I gave it a B-.
If you had not been under the mistaken impression it was a Ultimate Universe thing?
Maybe. Maybe if I had read, you know, 1 through 5, I would like it even better.
I think it would have given you the context on Galactus, but let's face it, these days you shouldn't have to be reading every series from the beginning to understand it.
But yeah, but I mean also, there's a number 6 issue I have no problem having to make some leaps myself, whether they be right or wrong. I mean, I don't need it. It gave me a recap page, really. So, I mean, it gave me everything I need for number 6.
A better written recap page could have set the scene a little better for you, too, though. So, opportunities for improvement, but still, it was a good comic.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to our other book?
Mm-hmm.
This is Micronauts number 1 from IDW for $4.99. It's a little steep for a first issue, but you know, hey.
Yeah.
It's written by Colin Bunn. We've got breakdowns by David Baldion with finishes by Fico Osio, Max Dunbar, Jack Lawrence, Dave Baldion. Colors by, you know, quite a few people. It was a surprisingly large creative team on this first issue.
Yeah, and let me take a shot at this. Now, breakdowns. Here's what my understanding of what breakdowns and finishes are. Breakdowns are somewhere between the stick people and storyboards that just kind of showcase the story, but with very little detail and just kind of characters placed where they're supposed to be. And then finishes are the actual where the anchors go in and they actually put the fine details in. Is that right? Is that fair to say?
When you've got somebody doing kind of the stick figure type stuff, to me, that's more just layouts, and breakdowns are more what you would think of kind of the traditional movie storyboard type stuff,
but so not quite pencils,
but well, they're not full finished pencils. You're not going to just take what the guy does and say, okay, let's letter it, color it, and we're done. You need somebody to again, clean up the rendering, put in some of the details and tighten it up a bit.
Well, what's the difference between a pencil and a breakdown then?
a breakdown, and again, the finishing could be done either in pencils or in inks. In this case, probably done in inks or digitally, I would expect. But pencils is something that if you did a good scan and just, you know, tweak the levels and stuff, in theory, you could just shoot from that, you know, and that's your printed page or whatever, depending on how good the pencils are. But breakdowns are a little, I don't want to say sketchier, but less detailed and, again, not fully rendered. Does that kind of make sense?
I guess I was thinking they were a lot less rendered than you're saying they are.
Yeah. Well, and again, there's no hard and fast rule of they must be thus, you know, this level rendered or whatever. But, I mean, to me, the stick figures, that doesn't qualify as breakdowns. You know, they've gotten to the point where it's pretty much this is the exact rough placement of the characters and, you know, the big items and whatnot. Somebody's just got to go in and, okay, now I've got to, you know, fully put in some of the detail of the buildings or, you know, the costume or something like that.
So is it fair to say breakdowns are rough pencils?
Yes, I would think so.
Okay.
They're not finished enough to shoot the page from for pre-press, but they're way more than a typical kind of just thumbnail layouts or whatever. Again, rule of thumb. When I was at C2E2, Buddy Scalera did a panel on, you know, from script to page or whatever. Tim Seeley and, I'm forgetting the other guy. Phil Hester were up there. Basically, here's the script, and they were doing kind of the layouts. But really, their layouts were at least to the level of breakdowns or something that you could have had somebody in, go in, clean up a bit, add a little more detail here and there, tighten up a bit, and shoot from that.
Now, is there a difference? This will be my last inside baseball question. Is there a difference between, would you call it breakdowns in traditional art, comic art, or is this a digital thing?
Breakdowns have happened long before the digital revolution in comics.
Okay. So, but can you also have breakdowns if it's all digital, it's all done digitally?
Or absolutely. Would
you call it something else?
No, it'd be the same thing. I mean, imagine if you've got a guy who's just a really great visual storyteller, but maybe he can't afford the full page rate or he doesn't have the time or, you know, whatever. You could maybe talk them into, hey, do the breakdowns for the issues. Essentially, if you were telling the full story and doing the full pencils, what would the structure of the page look like? More than just the layouts, though, you know, put in most of the stuff. Just don't go nuts. I'm trying to think of a better way to phrase this to be clearer. But you get what I'm saying? Where most of the gist of the page is there, but not the meat and potatoes. And then you could get some other people to go in and, again, just like inking is not just tracing, it's adding some stuff to it, the weight to the lines, etc. The finishes are doing the same thing for the breakdowns.
Is it also possible that the book is behind and look, this book isn't going to come out when we said it was unless you just do all the breakdowns and we bring some people in to come in and finish it for you?
I don't know exactly what happened on this because the next issue is 2 weeks from now. And when I see an issue where they've got this many artists, I'm like, did they fall behind? And I don't know. But, you know, they've got a little bit on the text page at the back of, you know, this guy hopped on to do some of the finishes. This guy helped out here. I don't know if something just kind of came up or what the deal was.
Yeah, they made it sound like what a treat it was for the guy that did the breakdowns to pop in and do some of the finishes as well.
Mm-hmm.
The way it was worded. So it did seem kind of strange.
It seems like Max Dunbar, though, is going to be the full-time artist next issue. And it may be that the guy who they picked just either got overwhelmed, had other stuff come up, or who knows. You know, not the best way, though, artistically or image perception-wise, you know, to start a series. You know, because again, I look at that, and when I see that many creative guys, it's like, did something go wrong or not? That having been said, I didn't feel like I would flip pages and like, geez, what happened here or something. I mean, visually, it held together well enough. Certainly, I'm looking forward to having a single artist moving forward.
Yeah, I don't think the art was the problem in this at all.
That implies you think there was a problem.
Yes, it does.
Elaborate.
I did not feel this was a very engaging comic. As far as the history of Micronauts, for me, I had a big stack of Micronauts when I was a kid in high school, and I remember reading them. I don't recognize any of that here, but it's been a long time. So I don't fully expect it to just all flood back and think that it's going to just pick up whatever my brain remnants have of that last series back in the 80s, basically. So I guess I was just, that didn't happen. So I was expecting them to really kind of pull me in and tell me this great story. And I got a little bit of who the team is and who's who, but it was not very engaging. And I didn't care that much about who the characters were and their mission and for them going forward. I was pretty disappointed.
Interesting. Because I mean, my knowledge of Micronauts is, I knew of the toys when I was a kid, probably had a few, but I mean, was there like a cartoon or a TV show? Because if so, I missed that entirely.
I missed that too. I remember there being toys. I don't think I owned any.
Okay.
But I do remember having a big stack of these comics that my brother stole, and he has them all now.
I know Marvel did a series of Micronauts for a while. I may have read a few issues here and there. I know, I forget if it was Devil's Due or... There was some other company a couple of companies, I think, over the last decade or two that have done some Micronauts stuff.
Oh, okay.
So most of my knowledge of the backstory there comes from the more recent comics. Because, again, I recall the action figures from being a kid, but no story or mythology of any sort around them.
Okay. Yeah, I only remember that original volume. I've never revisited again in comic form.
And, I mean, no doubt, because I was an avid Saturday morning cartoon watcher growing up. No doubt I saw commercials for the toys and all that kind of stuff. I'll be honest, I actually went to YouTube and just double-checked the pronunciation of Acroyer just to make sure it wasn't Acroyer. Just because, again, I no audio remembrance of this property whatsoever.
Yeah, it's funny because I pronounced it Acroyer the entire time.
Yeah, that's why I went and checked, because I had done that on previous volumes. Somebody, I think on one of the past teleconferences a few years ago, called me on it. It's like, no, it's this way. And oh, okay. I really, though, enjoyed this because... You know, my knowledge of it is, okay, there's Baron Karza or whatever, he's the big evil bad guy, and there's some people fighting him. Okay, it's Star Wars-ish, except in the Microverse. When we get introduced here to, what's his name, Oz, he was a fairly likable guy. And, you know, I got to understand why the team he's got, you know, likes him, puts up with him, deals with some of the negative ramifications of working with him. He's a generally good guy, though. I mean, to me, it was an accessible character and made for a good read. I thought the issue set up the scene, the tone, the style of the series, the basic, you know, what are they fighting and why, what kind of a world do they live in? It left a lot left to be discovered, certainly. But, you know, it's like, hey, we've got this job for you. Well, that seems easy. We'll go do it. And of course, it's nothing, you know, easy at all. It had enough of a Star Wars-ish kind of a vibe, again, with Oz almost in the Han Solo sort of a role. I thought it gave me what I needed on a first issue to know if I'm going to like it or not, and I did like it. But it sounds like either your expectations were very different, or there was something about Oz that I enjoyed that you just didn't, because we seem to be having very differing views on this one.
Yeah, it didn't... It didn't have the engagement that I was hoping for, and it didn't really pull me in. And, you know, it's a sci-fi that I don't gravitate to either.
How so?
I can't say that universally because I really enjoy Saga.
Mm-hmm.
And it has these big space things going on. But yeah, this one isn't my type of sci-fi. It just doesn't have that same feel that I enjoy.
I mean, Saga has got both a more fantastical and fantasy element to it. And while they have spaceships, this is a more Star Trek, Star Wars,
right.
Babylon 5, Firefly, Guardians of the Galaxy movie, sort of spaceship and ray guns kind of a deal.
And it felt closer to like Faster Than Light and that sort of thing.
Interesting, because I would put Faster Than Light is more of a little bit more grounded in science fact than fiction, if you know what I mean. Whereas here, this is almost Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers, you know, action adventure-y kind of sci-fi. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, there's nothing right or wrong about what you like, what you don't like. I'm not trying to question that at all.
No, I get you.
But, I mean, I agree. This is a very different kind of a sci-fi thing than Saga by a fairly wide margin. But to me, it's got enough familiarity in tone and style, again, with the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, Star Wars, and things of that ilk. And I like those kinds of things.
But see, you know, something like Low really works for me. And it's, you know, basically space underwater, and it has fantastical elements and things and machines and ray guns, but mm-hmm. it works for me.
Okay.
So, you know, and Fuse is set on a ship and has a cast of characters. And so there's a lot of things in here that work for me in pieces and in different interpretations, just not this one.
I would say though, Fuse is a mystery police procedural book in a sci-fi setting.
Just happens to be a sci-fi setting. It could be anywhere.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, you could tell the same plots. You'd have to tweak some of the details, obviously, in the window dressing. Here, this is a bit more baked into it's in space. We've got these things. You know what I mean? So, again, I can see kind of the difference. But, again, I really enjoyed this. I thought this has not only a lot of potential, but I thought they got the story off to a really strong start, and a lot of the potential was actually realized on the page. And I like kind of the design pages at the end where we get some of the sketches and, you know, whatnot of the various characters and such.
Would you call those breakdowns?
No. Again, design sketches and such, but that would be the level of what a breakdown is, I would think.
Would it be that high quality of pencil in the breakdowns?
If you go to the first one with a Croyer there,
yeah,
the main image where some of the lines are a little sketchier than some of the others or whatnot,
yeah.
If it's any more detailed than that, I think it almost stops being a breakdown. And again, this is just kind of my opinion. I am by no means an expert in this kind of stuff. The one in the bottom right corner, of that same page,
yeah,
that's something. I mean, that's ready to shoot off of.
That's ready to shoot. Yeah.
Whereas if you go to a couple of the others, like Oz, that page, that's
what I would think a breakdown would be.
Yeah. There's some cleanup to do. You can't quite shoot off it, but even that, you may be a little bit more detailed than some people would do for breakdowns. A lot of people might do for breakdowns. Yeah. So it would be interesting to see the pages with the breakdowns, and they had room here, they could have showed, followed by, okay, here's how so-and-so finished it off or what have you. But again, the point of the breakdown is to firmly place the things kind of on the page and do most of the heavy lifting and leave the detail work to the guy coming in and doing the finishes. So, I really enjoyed this. I thought it got off to a strong start. Colin Bunn, the writer here, did a terrific job. I, again, am not well-versed in the lore of Micronauts, yet I didn't feel I needed to be to enjoy this, nor was I punished for not knowing it or something. So I thought they did a really strong job, made it accessible, and for me, this is a B+.
Yeah, didn't hit the same notes for me. Probably not even going to try that next issue, even though it comes out in a couple weeks. I think I got everything I need here to know that it's probably not my speed, so I gave it a C-.
Okay, I can see that. Again, different things, different folks. And it sounds like your taste in science fiction is just a little bit different. Again, nothing right or wrong about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint because, you know, I really enjoy Star Wars.
But I could see where somebody could say, well, this is just derivative of, you know, I don't think that's an accurate assessment, but I could see where somebody could have that opinion.
Mm, yeah.
It wouldn't be different enough for them, you know what I mean? And therefore, yeah. Well, it's not Star Wars. So, again, different things, different people. That's part of what's great about comics is there's something for everybody. And speaking of something for everybody, since I get quite a bit of it, this is another big week for me. I think there was like, geez, I don't know, 50 or something comics I got. I am still current. I don't know how many more weeks I'm going to be able to say that because this coming weekend I've got the preview spotlight to edit, hopefully the number crunching to do. It's Free Comic Book Day. It's Mother's Day. So I may be a little behind next week in terms of not having finished the full week. But a lot of things came out. Avengers Standoff Assault on Pleasant Hill finished up. I thought it ended fairly strong. We're going to have a couple of titles spin out of that, I think fairly organically and well. Daredevil's still a great read.
Great?
You're not thinking so?
Oh, no. No, that Tin Finger thing was horrible.
This one had moved past it. It was a new story arc. It had Elektra.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with the Tin Finger thing. He got real old real quick.
Yeah, I thought that was an awful story arc, so much so that I haven't even read this one yet. I'm not sure if I was going to, but if you say it's better, I'll give it another shot. But I just about am dropping Daredevil.
Matt Murdock is practicing law again.
Oh, good.
Daredevil has a secret identity. Elektra comes by to visit. And they don't really reveal how Matt put things kind of back undercover for his secret identity. But it seems like there are some ramifications to this that are coming out. So it's, I thought, a good premise.
Cool.
And of course, you know, Elektra's just fun. What else did I read this week that was particularly good? I enjoyed Cyborg, Moon Girl, and Devil Dinosaur took a story turn that, frankly, I should have seen coming, but hadn't really given it any thought, and I was a little surprised they went there, but they did, so we'll see what happens next.
Going back, and I read the first issue with you, but haven't been back.
Mm-hmm.
Worth coming back for?
It depends where they go with the next issue. They've turned a corner there, and either it'll amp up the series, and it's like, wow, that's really interesting where they're going, or it won't be. I'm not going to put out high expectations of a story arc beyond that, but you know, who knows? Maybe it's catching on better than I expect. Superman Wonder Woman, the continuation of that storyline. We talked about that a week or two back. Really enjoying that. Again, not so much Super League. You were telling me right before we recorded, they've kind of retroactively renamed it to Final Days. That's a lot more fitting of the story we're actually getting. But you know, it's terrific art, great story. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm still liking Master Race. I think it continues
Dark Knight to be 3, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
I'm enjoying it. It isn't working for me as well as I would have liked. It's still good, but I'm waiting for them to move a little bit forward. They brought up some very interesting points about Superman, the last son of Krypton, and oh yeah, he's got this bottle of Kryptonians he keeps hidden away from people. Wait a sec, you said you're the last son. You've got this whole city of other Kryptonians? What up? I thought that was... They bring up some interesting things that, frankly, have been part of the Superman mythology for decades, yet nobody has really kind of poked at and pointed out.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see where this goes. I think halfway through.
Yeah.
The Batgirl backup was interesting. Interesting interpretation of that character.
Mm-hmm.
See how that goes. That'll be kind of neat.
And speaking of Batgirl, we got a fairly good issue with Batgirl 51, also coming out this week. In addition to Batgirl 51, which had Batgirl, Black Canary, and Vixen, was Black Canary number 11, which had Batgirl, Black Canary, and Vixen. There was a redundancy there without overlap, if you know what I mean. They're telling different stories, but hitting some of the same sort of notes. It's kind of weird.
Are you caught up on Super Zero now?
No, I'm not. I've caught up on my weekly reading. I still have the stack of stuff from Aftershock. But I may have time before I get my next shipment to go through those. I've got Super Zero and Replica. I hope
you enjoy Super Zero because issue 5 just came out and it was wonderful. So
they seem to be doing some good stuff. I'm paying more attention to their section of previews. It's on the list to do. I've just had a few other things to take care of.
Another great issue of Saga that's now going to take its 3 months off again, which bothers me, but I get it.
If only there were another sci-fi series that had just started up that we reviewed that you could continue. No, I'm kidding.
I know. If only Saga 2, otherwise known as Micronauts.
Saga Circle. It fills in for Saga Legacy when it's... No, it's... They've got a good rhythm with Saga, and when they take the time off, they at least tell us ahead of time and whatnot, so it's all good.
Yeah, it's at least it's planned. It's after an arc finishes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, we've had these huge gaps in creator-owned books that were, you know, Nowhere Men comes to mind, where you have no idea what was even going on anymore. It's been so long.
Well, and you're wondering if it's still an ongoing concern or not, or if they just gave up on the book.
Yeah. So at least when they plan it and tell you right there, here's what we're doing, that works. I just, you know, from a reading standpoint, I want them. Mm-hmm. I'd like it to be weekly.
Well, again, some of these books are coming out like every other week.
Yeah.
So be careful what you ask for.
Well, those not so much. I don't really enjoy those as much.
It just makes it hard to keep up. Yeah, again, I had about 50 things I was reading this week. Got them all done, but it was close. So
you have nothing to read until the new comics come in. Your new comics come in on Friday?
I get them on Friday, but I've still got that stack of a half dozen or so from Aftershock that I picked up at C2E2 that I haven't read. And I've got the Wonder Woman Earth 1. And I've got a ton of other trades I could be reading. I mean, I'm never without things to read.
Yeah, that's how I am. Like, if I ever get caught up, well, then I can go read some more Scalped, or go back and read some more Invincible, something like that.
Or I could catch up on some of the TV I'm behind on.
That's true. You know, that too. There's been some great finales. I don't know how caught up you are, but they've been pretty good. It's been a great season of comic book television.
It has. My sister and I have already recorded for one TV season that goes up as we record this on Friday, as people listen to this last Friday. That's we talked about Supergirl. We've got a short episode coming up on Limitless, and obviously once Arrow, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow end, because we're current on those, we'll do episodes on those. We're massively behind. I think we're a season behind on Orphan Black and a few other shows. So some of them in Gotham, we barely scratched the surface of this season. So
I'm current on Gotham, but I'm way behind on S.H.I.E.L.D.
We got to the halfway point on S.H.I.E.L.D. So we'll be, again, marathoning that at some point. Yeah,
that's where I'm at.
It's a really great television season. There's just so much to watch. Plus, there's a couple of movies and stuff coming out that we're going to try to go see sooner rather than later. So hopefully.
Now, there was a post on the forum about that Jonah Hex is coming. Is he going to get his own series? Have you heard that?
That I hadn't heard. He was in an episode of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes, that was a wonderful cameo. I love that.
Yeah. Beyond that, don't know what plans they've got for the character.
I would probably watch that. Pretty sure I would watch that.
If they could do a Western well, they couldn't do it in comic book format for the last time or two they've tried with Jonah Hex. Why do we think a TV show would work better? I mean,
yeah, I agree with you there, because, I mean, it was really nice to see him there, but those other characters in the Old West, I'm not sure how well they worked.
Yeah.
That was an uneven episode, an uneven series, basically.
It's had its moments. It's not as well conceived as Arrow, Flash, or Supergirl.
Right. Exactly.
So,
but aren't we lucky to have so many great choices?
Absolutely. Again, there's always something to watch on TV. There's always comics to read. It's an embarrassment of riches. So anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
I think that does it.
Cool.
Join us next week as we discuss Scooby-Doo Team-Up number 16 from DC, Thunderbolts number 1 from Marvel, and Walking Dead the Alien from PanelSyndicate.com.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.